You're about to hear the Daf Yomi on Masechet Chulin from Daf Cycle number 12 in the year Tovshin Ayin Aleph. It'll be followed by a rapid review enabling you to get a quick glimpse of the Daf, and then I'm going to replay you the Daf from the 11th cycle from the year 2004, which you might enjoy more because of a different ambience and different participants. Enjoy. Today's Daf in Masechet Bechorot, brought to you, Ben Chumot Yerushalayim, is Daf Yud Zayin. We're holding on the second of the wide lines on Yud Zayin Amud Aleph. And before we begin, instead of just reading the five-word introduction, Rachel Shiyol Domineis, let's look back at the Mishnah itself, just to remind ourselves that the end of the Mishnah, the previous Amud Beit, Tet Zayin Amud Beit, went from the questions of the Dinim of Shutafut, Kabbalah, and so on, Barzel of a Goy, and moved on to the issue of Nidmeh. Of course, Nidmeh was something that we had discussed at great length in the first parak in terms of the Petar Hamor, and we brought the Psukim already of Nidmeh that had to do with Bechor of Behemah Torah. And here the Mishnah says, if a Rachel has a Min Eiz, so that the child doesn't look like the mother, or an Eiz has a Rachel, in both cases, Turah Mina Bechorah, and you will recall the Drosha that we had, Bechor Shorah, Shehusha, Bechor Oshor, Bechor Eiz, and Bechor Keves. But, Im Yesh Bo Mitzat Simanim Chayav. This is a reminder of a sugya that we went into at great length earlier. Today, the Gemara brings a surprising shita, seems to argue with the Mishnah. Ata Rav Hoshaya min Harda. Rav Hoshaya came from Narda, carrying along a braita in his hands, v'ayte matnit biyadei, and it said like this, Rachel bat Eiz, ve'Eiz bat Rachel, which sounds like exactly the case in the Mishnah, right? Rachel she'yaldim in Eiz. By the way, when it says bat, it doesn't mean bat necessarily. You have to remember three hands. It doesn't mean a female. It means the relationship of child to mother. It has nothing to do whether it's a male or a female. So a Rachel bat Eiz or an Eiz bat Rachel, Rabbi Meir is mechayev. Now he doesn't say what is mechayev, but sure, if he's talking about a bechor, we're in trouble. You know, when he doesn't hold that old drasha. The chachamim pater, which is what the Mishnah says that it's pater. Omale Rav Hoshaya la Rabba. Now Rav Hoshaya couldn't figure out what it was talking about, so he told Rabba, you know what? When you come next time to speak by Rav Huna and learning, boy mine, ask him what this is supposed to mean. Rabbi Meir is mechayev for what? Lamai. I mean, could it be that he's talking about the Bechorah? You mean to say that Rabbi Meir doesn't hold of the pasuk that we've been taking for granted by everybody? Ach Bechor Shor, Ach Yehushor, Bechor Oshor. So it doesn't make sense that that would be the case. So what then is it about? Is it about Reshit HaGez to tell me that this type of thing, according to Rabbi Meir, has ruled it as Chayev? Rabbanan say, no, this is not really called Gez. So no, that doesn't make sense. Because could it be the Letle HaTana Devei Rabbi Shmuel? Is it possible Rabbi Meir really doesn't hold of the famous drosha of the Tana Devei Rabbi Shmuel that makes it irrelevant to determine its genetic status, its nidme status? The point is, look at its wool. Any, even if it would be a real keves that has wool that is very tough, shitzimran kasher, is by definition pata from reshita gaze, because gaze doesn't just refer to shearings. Gaze refers to the type of shearing that creates the insulating abilities of regular lamb's wool. Shinema omi gaze kivasa yitchamam. I will be warmed with the gaze of the lambs. And therefore, even if you would say, technically speaking, it's not nidmeh, that wouldn't matter. Because the question is only, is this tough wool or is it soft wool? Does it have the ability to create the insulating spaces of air or not? And that's all that we care about. So that doesn't make sense either. So therefore, I'd like you to go, says Rav Hoshaya, and get to ask maybe Rav Huna, he might be able to explain what the heck Rabbi Meir was referring to. Says Rabbi Tema, what is this business of go and ask? Why can't we figure out things on our own? I mean, we've got brains. I say Nirze Anan. Let's try to figure it out. I have a suggestion. Why don't we say that Achol Mayaskinan Berachel Sheyalda Min Eiz, that yes, we're talking about a Min Eiz. That's true. But that's because it looks like daddy, because Aviv Tayash. What happened over here is that the Tayash was its father, a goat. And really, that's the issue. The issue isn't over here about anything but Otoved Beno, you see. Normally, we say Otoved Beno is a function of the mother. Misha Beno Koruch Acharav, and that's the mother. Now, the question is whether it extends also to a father, particularly over here, where it's clear that daddy has had some influence. Otherwise, why does the child look like daddy? And therefore, Rabbi Meir holds Choshishin LeZera Ha'av, that we do have to take into consideration who the father is, and therefore there's a Chiyav of Otoved Beno. And that's an old machloket. That's the machloket that we had about Choshishin LeZera Ha'av. Is there din of Otoved Beno or not? The Rabbanan Savri and Choshishin LeZera Ha'av, the Rabbanan holds, we don't hold that the father is relevant in the description of the dinim of Otoved Beno. Come on, said Rav Shaya, that's not really a good explanation. I mean, if that's what they're arguing in, what a funny way to say it, isn't it? I mean, Ahachi, Lifluga B'choshen Zerav Amo B'pluk to the Chananya of Rabbanan? Wouldn't it make more sense for them to be arguing in the standard Machloket about Choshen Zerav Av, which we have back in Chulin? That's the machloket across the board between the Chananya and the Rabbanan. I mean, to say this is a unique case because it looks like daddy, I mean, that doesn't really make much of a difference. Either we are Choshishin LeZera'av in general or not. So why would we have done this? Okay. All right, you know what? Let's go back to the Bechora business, all right? Elili Olam LeBechora. You were bothered by the fact that this is a nigma, but that's because you're oversimplifying the case. The Achieh Ushar Ubechoro Shar, Ueiz Ubechoro Eiz. You thought that we were talking about a Rachel that was a Yalda, I mean Eiz. What the real case is when we say Rachel She Yalda Min Eiz, is not that the child of the Rachel looks like an Eiz, but that the Rachel was the mother, was the daughter of an Eiz. And therefore, when she gave birth, she gave birth to something that ought to be an Eiz, because that's where she comes from, but isn't. That's the point. So we have a Rachel which has a Rachel, and there's no problem of Nidme, because actually the child and mother look exactly alike. The problem is, they shouldn't, because in reality it ought to look like its grandmother, and it doesn't. So that's the question. Or, of course, we could have the other case. The case was where Eiz was a Eiz that was Yolda. Min Rachel means that we were talking about an Eiz that was a bat Rachel, and it gave birth to what looked like an Eiz, but should have been a Rachel. Same exact thing. So the question over here, if that's the explanation, is that if you look at the relationship of mother and daughter, so Mar Savar Zil Batar Ime, and there's no problem. Mar Savar is the other one, says, well, the whole thing is a problem, because this thing is really supposed to be a grandmother species. That's where it came from. So you got to look at the grandmother. Ime, the fact that its mother was a mutation, and the mutation continues onwards, that's not going to change the fact that it's a nitme. And this is the machlokas, Rabbi Meir and the Rabbanan. Or maybe just the opposite. You know what? I'll give you another explanation. Talking about a Bechor, and it really is a Rachel bat Eiz, except that that Eiz itself was about Rachel. Now the question is, look, basically the Rachel is looking the way it should, because genetically it is a Rachel. So Mar Savar, well, that's good. Everything's back the way it should be. Chozra Seyut L'Mikomam, says Rabbi Meir. It's now a Seh the way it's meant to be. And we can ignore the unfortunate appearance of this weird Rachel in the middle. Mar Savar, lo Chozra Seyut L'Mikomam. But the other man, the Omer, holds, look, the fact is it's dissimilar to its mother. And that's what's important. Interesting. Ravashi says, look, I don't know what the big deal is. I mean, we've got a case of Bechor. The case of Bechor is where it is a nidme, but it has miksat simonim. That's what it's talking about over here. So miksat simonim, remember, achalak. So even though you need achiehu eiz, ubechoro eiz, or achiehu keves, ubechoro keves, but in yeshbo miksat simonim comes along the ach to tell me that miksat simonim is enough to be mechayev yom bechor. Why did the Rabbanan argue? Because Aman Chachami, Rabbi Shimon holds, achie rosh overubo doma le'imo. So all that we need is the Rosh and Rubo, but certainly it's not going to be enough to have just a simen that makes it similar to its mother. And that's the machloket. You don't have to read all this other stuff in. Omar Rabbi Yochanan, you know one thing, and that is that Moda Rabbi Meir, if we're talking about, even though Rabbi Meir says, well, the important thing is that it came back to what it is, it doesn't matter whether in between you have some mutations, that's really irrelevant. But he only says that, legabi, this halacha. But Moda Rabbi Meir, when it comes to the din of the kashrut of the korban, of the Seir Shel Rosh Chodesh, or any of the musafim, in which we have a sawyer that was being brought as a musaf, you need to have genetic integrity without mutation, all the way back to Ma'aseh Bereishit. So there you need to have a sa'ir, it has to be a ben si'ira. It's got to be all the way back a ben si'ira, is what he really means, where to see. What he seems to be saying is that it has to not be a nidme. It needs to be similar to its mother. My time, Armakro, echad, it says si'ir echad, Elashem. Echad means echad, meaning miyuchad. It's unique, it's a specific set of informational points, that it's been the same. Wait a minute, this is where we learn out Nidme from? It's rather obvious. That's what he's talking Since we're dealing with time, it has to come from the origin. Okay. Now, the Gemara right here is making a very naive mistake. But remember that we are in the position of seeing the context of what Rabbi Yochanan said. In other words, we just got off of this whole sugya of chazras siyut l'mikomah, and that you don't need to have all through the generations. What they heard was Rabbi Yochanan basically saying that a nidma is possible. Right? So now, therefore, it's very troubling. What do you mean a nidma? Of course a nidma is possible. If all I hear is the drasha of Seir Echad, that it has to be a Seir, and it can't be similar to anything else. I mean, that doesn't come from here. That comes from the other pasuk. Shor o kesef v'darshan. Esigmar v'al miyalcha nafka. That's not learned out from Echad. That's learned out from Shor o kesef o eiz ki yivaleid v'darshan like this. What's the O? That's prat l'kelai. O eiz prat l'nidme. So don't we know nidme from there? Of course we don't know it from there. Tzricha, we need. Of course, we need both these psukim referring to different things. Listen, imi ha'atam, hava mina anami le'echad olonokit le'dare, aval echad olonokit le'dare, emalo. Listen, if you're talking about its similarity to its own progenitor, its mother, okay, fine. That is all that it's saying. The child has to look like its mother, but it doesn't have to now go back to the generations before her. But how about if it's vis-a-vis its grandmother? How about if it's a nidme? So then I would say you don't need echad v'yuchad misheshet imei bereshit, obviously. So there I would say it would be kosher, kom ashvel and Rav Yochanan, which of course is the whole big chiddush over here, that when it comes to the korbanot that are shayach to the musafei hazmanim, it has to be consistent throughout all time. And it has to be one set of information from beginning to end.
Why
is
this korban and not other korbanot?
Because here's what the Torah says, we're explaining that it has to be misheshet imei bereshit, because that's the whole point of the zmanim. The zmanim relate back to Rosh Chodesh, and the whole idea of Rosh Chodesh. But listen, if you think about what we daven on Rosh Chodesh, it's all about Yetzirah. It goes back to the relationship of the sun and the moon. And the so, okay, I understand that all of the Moadim relate to the moon. Fine. But if that's the case, it needs to be, this is a unique korban. How would I know that from the general psalm of Nidna? I certainly would not And if I just learned this one, well, the yards, well, look, if the Torah is saying that there's a din of nidme that goes all the way back to my Bereishis, the kosher game, there's a local din of nidme, no? No. Because the only case that I find over here is benogeh, these particular karbanot of chovah. It's okay, fine, let me learn out from here that any korban chovah that's brought on the mizbeach has to be this way. If a guy wants to bring a neder, but he can't bring a neder for something that's mamash and nidme. Why not? Maybe they were not makbid in the Dabalo.
Even first generation.
Therefore, tzricha, that at least in the din of neder, we have a din of who the imo. Omer v'acha by Yaakov. Hakol modim de'in lokin al tzimro b'shum kilay. Everybody is made that where you have a mixture of genetic information that it's not considered to be kalayim when it's mixed with pishtim. Because the Torah says, lo tilbash sha'atnei tzemru pishtim, right? The tzemru pishtim, look, pishtan has not been played with. There's no mating with other species when it comes to pishtan.
Stalk of flax.
Yeah, it's flax. The same flax. It doesn't mix naturally. So if pishtan was not nishtan, we'll talk about that. If pishtan was not nishtana, then it's referring to tzemer shelo nishtana. In nature, you get a lot of cross mating. So that cross mating takes place among mammals, but it doesn't take place among plants naturally. Therefore, we can learn out if the pishtan is the same pishtan, then the tzemer has to be the same tzemer. But if this is not the original tzemer, then that's not what the Torah was asking in Kilayim. Omer of Papa, hakomodim shetzimro pasul etchelet. You cannot make chute tchelet for your tzitzit out of such thing. Shenemar lo tilbashat neiz gedilim tasalach. So this is exactly the same, just like the pishtan that is in reference to the shatnez tzemru pishtim lo nishtana af tzemer shalo nishtana, and that's the tzemer of gedilim tasalach. Omer nachum bar Yitzchak, nu? I know, that's the problem. No, it's talking about a grandmother. You can't walk in late and interrupt things like that. It's talking about where one generation, the mother was a different species. And now it's back to its overwhelming genetic inheritance for the past 50 generations. And it looks the same way it always looked 50 generations ago. Still not kosher for tzitzit. And not only that, you should know that if you had this type of material and it got a nega in the baguette, it won't be tummy. For the same reason. Because only the tzemer upishtiv is mentioned by negayim. So Omer Nachma Yitzchak HaKol Modim. Whether when it comes to the dinim we've been talking about, you're like Rabbi Meir or the Rabbana, everybody would be made up that it's not considered to be wool that the Torah is referring to. To be metami b'negayim. Shenemar babeget semer o babeget pishtim. So there too, just like the pishtim of negayim lo nishtana, af semer shelo nishtana. Omer Rav Ashi, I want to add something. Af anu nomar, everybody's having fun, I want to have fun too. I would say, if you take a geffen and you train it over a te'ina, I would say, yeno pasula nisachim. You cannot use the wine of those grapes on the mizbeah. Why? Same type of drasha that you had. You had a drasha of tzemru pishtim. I say zevach nisachim. Just like the zevach we just saw, lo nishtana, it has to be the same, because a nidma is pasul. So too, a nidma is pasul. Now this is a big stretch, because putting a geffen over a tree is not mixing it genetically. You call that a nidma? Said the Gemara, it says Ravina, matkifla Ravina, that's crazy. Because, I mean, according to this, if I took pishtan, as a matter of fact, how about if pishtan grew over a hege? It grew over a thorn bush. So now, according to you, it's nishtana, right? You're saying, if it simply grows over another tree, that's called nishtana. It doesn't even have to mate with the other tree. No genetic mix. So you're going to call that nishtana. So then, if pishtan grew on a hege, according to you, it's also nishtana. So then, the whole drasha breaks down. You said, we'll add. You didn't add, you just blew everybody up. Because you're claiming that's nishtana. So then how can you say ma pishtan shelo nishtana? But are you telling me that pishtan never grows over other things? And you're calling that nishtana? So in the same way that the mammals can mate, the pishtan also will mate, so to speak. Because you say it just has to grow over something and it's called mated with it. Omar Lay, said Rav Ashi, nah, come on. We're talking about a change in the product. That's the issue over here. Not because it happens to be Yidlah. The point is that when you grow grapes over a Te'ina, they no longer taste the same. They absorb the smells of the area that they're growing in. And the type of smell in the wine is more fruity. It's a different smell. In which case, you have affected the outcome. Pishtan is totally undetectable. You take a look at the product, there is no way to detect that this product is not straight Pishtan. That's for Pishtan, therefore, there's been no change. And you could still say, Shalom Nishtana. That's true. There's no change. So I say, Zeh Nishtane Recho. You can smell the difference in the wine. You ain't going to smell the difference in the Pishta.
Is it Kilayim when you're...
No.
Not at all.
No.
But in Kilayim, if you have wheat and crew under a grapevine...
Yeah, it's grapes. Remember that Pishtan. It's only grapes that Aser B'Kilayim. Pishtan that grows over a egg, it doesn't Aser B'Kilayim.
Grapes
and figs are also not Kilayim. It would have to be grape. Right, that would be growing.
Grain. Yeah. That airspace would not create.
Yeah. Dear President.
Doctor, the commissioner.
Rachel Shalom Bichra. Getting back now to the questions of the Sveikot. So here you have a first time birth of a Rachel, and it has two males. Yodash Shnei Zacharim. And Yatsush Deiroshem Ka'achat. We see that the birth was a remarkable occurrence in which both Vladot were born simultaneously. Of course, this was the issue we discussed earlier, Lagavi Petach Hamor. Rabbi Yossi Aglili says it is possible that a Rachel should have two Bechorot, and you give both Bechorot to the Kohen, because it says, HaZecharim LaHashem. Zecharim is Lashon Rabbim, so apparently there are times when both are given to the Kohen. V'chachamim omrim, e'efshar letzamtzeim. There's no such thing as having two at one time. It looks to you that it was two at one time. What are the chances that something is precisely the moment of Yitziat, Rosho, Rov? That's ridiculous. Why in the world would we assume such a thing would happen? So you're saying, but I was looking, knew you were looking. That's not called a way to measure things exactly. And therefore, why would we assume that they're both Kodesh? Ela echad lo, v'echad l'kohen, one of them is the Bechor, and one of them isn't the Bechor. Now, what do you do? What do you do? Both of them are Suffolk Bechor. Obviously, you're not going to be Nene as the Yisrael from either, unless it has a mum. Otherwise, you have to, you're Mesupik, each one of these animals may be the real Bechor. So, you've got two issues, the Kiddush of the Bechor, and you've also got the issues of the Kohen. The Kohen is coming demanding his animal. Which one does he take? Rabbi Tarfon Omer, what you do? A Kohen borer lo atayafet. Since there's Vaday a Bechor here, the Kohen has a right to choose the best one. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Rabbi Akiva says, Mishamnin beinehem, which sounds like he's saying that we split it. But the Gemara is going to end up saying that's not what it means at all. And that in fact, the Shemen is the difference between them, meaning that the Kohen gets the lesser, the Kachush. The less fat, because Amotzi Michaviro Olav Araya. So even though one is Vaday Abachor, who cares? But you still, monetarily, you're going to have to prove that you get the bigger moment. What do you do with the other one? You're certainly not allowed to eat it, unless it has a mum. Otherwise, maybe it's kachim, and maybe it belongs to Mizveya. So Hasheni Yera Archie is the Ev. You got to wait until it gets a mum. And also, when you shecht it, even though you're allowed to keep it, because of much of a fellow of Araya, but you're going to have to give the Zrola Chayayim Vakeva to the Kohen. This everybody agrees. Now this seems to be getting into the issue of Mamonavsha. In other words, you're telling me I'm not going to give it to you, because maybe it's the Bechor. Fine, it's going to be the whole animal. make up your mind. Elamai, you want to keep it. You're claiming this one is yours. So give me the Matanites. We'll get into the Gemara. Rabbi Yossi Poter, how is that possible? We'll have to see. Echad me'em over here, Met Echad me'em, one of them died. Over here, Rabbi Tarfon seems to have changed his mind. One of them died before the one was given to the Kohen, either one was given to the Kohen. So now, Rabbi Tarfon says, okay, you can be chaylik it. That's the most that you could do. So even though Rabbi Tarfon said before that you're he could take whichever one he wants. Here he says he only gets to split it. Whereas Rabbi Akiva says he doesn't get anything. Because the Yisrael could say, oh, I'm so sorry, the Bechor died. What do you mean the Bechor died? How do you know? Well, I mean, prove that the other one is the Bechor, the living one is the Bechor. So until you can prove it, you get nothing. And I'm not to make a veral of Araya. If it's a Zachar and a Nekeva, then maybe the Nekeva was born first. The Nekeva was born first, God doesn't get anything. There everybody agrees. Even Rabbi Tarfon agrees. The only reason Rabbi Tarfon was arguing is because, look, there's Vada Yabakor, if there was Shrei Zachar. So you can't push away the Kohen with your Tainas. No, not this one. No, the other one. There's Vada Yabakor. So therefore, first he gets his right to the Bechor, as we'll see in the Gemara.
In that case, the male has
he'll have to be machmir in terms of not eating it because maybe it's kodesh. But in this case, financially, the kohen can't say, "Look, you definitely owe me something to that. Maybe I don't owe you anything." There, even Rabbi Tarfon is made it. It might be, but problem is you can't force. We'll see later on about when you can give things to kohen. When can you force kohen to take? Amri Devei Reb Yana. So Devei Reb Yana pointed out that look, it's clear that Reb Yossi Aglili. I mean, when Reb Yossi Aglili says over here that both of them are kodesh, Reb Yossi Aglili is therefore saying that Efshel at Samtzeim even B'day Shamayim. In other words, even though this is a random event. And it's not that you were setting it up to happen all at one time and that you had a laser in place to make sure that you'd see which one came out first. But even though you're not really arranged to be mitzamtzeim, you can utilize your measurements to assume that if it looks like it came out together, then we're saying it came out together. Both of them are bechor. If that's the case, kosher can be the Adam. I mean, certainly in a case where you're attempting to be mitzamtzim, the Torah views that as being true tzimtzum. It's precise. That's the level of precision I'm interested in. But what about, according to the Rabban, it's clear from this Mishnah, the Rabban would say Eif Shalat Samtzim. But maybe they're saying Eif Shalat Samtzim in this case because it was random. So the chances of something happening but symptom randomly are so minute that we don't have to worry about it. And the fact that you look at it in this, I'm putting together the shittas of the various Rishonim, because I don't believe that they really argue. So the fact that you happen to have measured it and it looks to you like symptom is irrelevant, because you weren't set up to measure. It's accidental that you happen to have measured it. But what would they hold about Bidei Adam? Is Bidei Adam, would the Rabbanan agree, that if you had things set up in advance to be able to measure, and or you were trying to do something exactly, utilizing measurement, is tzimtzum of simultaneous, or any other implication of tzimtzum, possible in that case? My. Now this would have remarkable implications in terms of various halachas. I mean, if you told me tzimtzum is possible, then that would mean, lechora, that you would have to make every possible effort with the most advanced instrumentation to make, let's say, your tefillin perfectly square.
Exactly.
Right? So what would be the din? My. Tashma. Chut shel sikra chogro be'emtza lahavdil be'damim elyonu be'damim atachtonim. You draw a red line around the Mizbeach. And that red line defines which dam is kosher because it was on the upper half of the Mizbeach, or which dam is kosher when it's on the bottom half of the Mizbeach. Apparently, this implies that you can draw a line. Now, lines, theoretically, are infinitely small. In other words, they only exist in one dimension. So, if you could draw a line, then obviously, there is a possibility to be mitzamtzeim, because if you can't, then how do you know, yamrit yiv shalat samtzeim bidei adam, that even when you're attempting tzimtzum, you cannot assume it's mitzumtzam. So then, zinin dekoyov al yonin lamata v'tachtonin lamala. How can you rely on that line to say, any dam that needed to be put above that line, that is above that line, is kosher? Why? The line might have been slightly off, and therefore the dam is possible. Well, we don't make it a line. We make it a centimeter wide line. I mean, you know, who's to say that it was meant to be mitzumtzam? Any dam that lands on the chut ha-sikra itself maybe is indeed a suffix.
But the line, once it's such a wide line, I mean, that's not called Tzimtzum. If it's clearly above, it's kosher. If it's clearly below, it's kosher, depending on where it's supposed to be. That's not a problem. So after you do your best, you're mirvach bapur, you make it a wider line, you use a magic marker. Tashma, okay, let me ask you something. The Torah said, make the following kalim for the Mishkan. No. So you've got your hin, your chatziah hin. The Torah says, make the mizbeach such and such a size. Make the shulchan such and such a size. Well, if you're telling me you cannot be mitzamtzim, how can you use any of the kalim in the Mishkan? It's always a suffix. So apparently you can be mitzamtzim. Right? And that would mean, tashma midat kalim, midat mizbeach. Says the Gemara, no. Over there, who's to say that it's because you could be mitzamtzim? Maybe it simply means that the Torah defines midot in terms of the human abilities. Not that it's really, the Torah is saying, it really has to be ama v'chetzikom. Of course it doesn't really have to be ama v'chetzikom. What the Torah is saying is you do your best to get to an ama v'chetzikom. That's all you need. I'm not going to talk to you primitives as if you could actually be mitzamtzim things. I'm not talking about my ama v'chetzi. I'm talking about your ama v'chetzi. I don't even have an ama, quite frankly, but whatever your ama v'chetzi is good. It is really good enough for me. Maybe that's what it means.
You're saying that the measurement itself is not exact, or the application, right? Isn't
by definition, if the measurement isn't exact, how could the application be exact?
So it says,
I'm making the wrong size, Mizbeah.
The measurement is exact. You have to.
We're saying maybe there's no such thing as a measurement.
Yeah.
That's what we're saying over here. If Bishlema, if you're talking about simultaneity either is or isn't, that you could say. But if you're talking about a measurement, maybe the measurement is whatever you can achieve. So that doesn't prove anything. We want to know whether it's possible to be mitzamtzim if you would have to be mitzamtzim. That's the question. So shiny hatab derachmano amar avid. Over there, it's a mitzvah of doing things. Doing things means do your best. That's what the mitzvah means. So b'kol eka the matzit l'ma'avid nechale. I'm happy with you making what you think is ama v'chetzi rabbo, okay? You think it's ama v'chetzi rabbo. That's fine. That's good enough for me. Just like we find, by the way, some take out this pasuk because it doesn't really add anything. Hakol b'chtav miyad Hashem alai yiskil. No, it works out to be the same. So if HaKadosh Baruch Hu told David to make it like this, this is what it's alai yiskil. Whatever you can do, you do your best. Some learn it otherwise, and some just stomp, take it out. Omer of Katina. I can bring you a raya. I can bring you a raya from the famous case of the tanur that we spoke about before. You've got a tanur that's tameh, right? So now, if you break that tanur, so then it becomes tahor. If you would be able to, theoretically, to cut it straight down the middle, so then you wouldn't have rove in either piece, right? If you don't have rove in either piece, then you have a broken tanur, and the whole thing is kosher. The rove did not survive. And yet, what's the halacha over there? You measured this tanur. You cut it well. You cut through Richie right straight to... Oh, it wasn't Richie. It was the tanur. The buzz saw is coming at you. Go ahead. Just stay there. Tied to the wood. Just stay there. Just stay there.
Cutting the clean half. Puts his hand up like this to them, all of a sudden he sees you.
So now you're cutting right through the middle. Plastic man. So the din over there is that both pieces are tummy. Why? Because you didn't cut straight through the middle. Lafisha e if Charlotte some same. So obviously it's gotta be the Rabbana. And here it's talking about Bidei Adam. And it's saying e if Charlotte some same. Omrif Kana, that doesn't prove anything. Yev Shalit Samtsim in a case where the material that you're using doesn't lend itself to Tzimtzum. Everybody would agree to that. Because you can't cut cheres precisely. If you're talking about something on which you can use a micrometer to cut, you can laser cut it, you got a piece of carefully laid steel or whatever, fine. Nobody would suggest that a crumbling material is going to be Efshalat Samson. That's not a raya, but we're talking about in cases where you would think that it's possible to be Mitzamson. Can you or not? So shiny chikli cheres, of course a tanur which is made out of cheres. Oh, the yeshbo gumot, it goes in and out, it's got little, it's got ridges in it. Of course it can't be mitzamsim that. Okay, how about this? Tashma. Nimtza mechuvan b'shtei ayarot. You're measuring to the closest city to see who has to bring the egla rufa. And you find that the body was precisely located between two cities. So both of those cities, according to Rebbe Eliezer, both of those cities bring an Egla Rufa. And in this case, you bring Shtei Agalot, the Rebbe Eliezer. And why is that? Apparently, because you've done your measurements so well that you bring two Agalot. So La Mishum de Kasavri, Bidei Adam Efshalet Samtsem. Apparently, he holds that you can measure precisely to the point where it's the same, and this is called Hakrovala Halal, as much as the other one is Krovala Halal, and therefore when it says Krova, it doesn't mean necessarily Krova. Krova could mean Afilu Krovot. It would include two cases. And therefore we don't say one of them is definitely Krova, and each one should make a deal with the other city. Look, we'll bring one Egla Rufa, and we'll split the price, and then it'll be Chal for whoever it was. No, you have to bring two. So that means that what we're saying is essentially, you can be mitzamtzein bidei adam. There wouldn't be a problem of Vilchumra, because we could make a shutafut and make a deal. If it really is krova to us, because it can only be krova to one, because Yevshal it's the same. So then if it's us, you're Meichel, you're Chelek to us, and it's our Egla Rufa. If it's really krova to you, we're Meichel, our Chelek in it to you, and it's your Egla Rufa. And that way we're Yaitzer 100%. There's nothing to be machmer on. It's only if you hold Efshel at Samson, then there's what to be machmer on, because we know that they're both chayiv. That's the point. Says the Gemara, no, that's not the logic. Rebbe Eliezer, the reason that Rebbe Eliezer is saying over here is not because the Rabbanon hold Efshel at Samson. Wasn't that your question? Do the Rabbanon hold Efshel at Samson bidei adam? How do you know Rebbe Eliezer holds like the Rabbanon? Maybe Rebbe Eliezer said like Rebbe Yossi Aglili. Rebbe Yossi Aglili holds Efshel at Samson even bidei shamayim. Kosher came bidei adam in this case, where now I've got my measurements very carefully set up. It's a calm situation, not where I'm in the middle of a birthing room and trying to say, oh, whoa, look, it looks the same. I'm going, oh, look. Things are out of control.
Is that called bidei shamayim?
Bidei, that's why I'm telling you, I'm putting the jikas and shamayim together. Bidei Shemayim doesn't mean the event is Bidei Shemayim. It means the event takes place randomly and can be measured only as an accidental fact that you were there. But if the event, say in this case, the falling of the... Obviously the murderer didn't measure the location in order to murder in this place. So the point is that as far as that's concerned, it's a random event. So that's Bidei Shemayim. Right? But that's irrelevant. Right now we're measuring. The measurement is entirely Bidei Adam. So here it's not the question of can you achieve. The case that you're, what you want to achieve is not the murder, you want to achieve the measurement. Of course we would have further questions of whether you want to achieve the actual result. So then you want to achieve your tefillin, to be exact. Is there such a thing as Efrilah Chamsin? Now this doesn't really touch on another issue, which would make all the difference in the world. What are the shiurim to be mitzamtzem in? Because how about if it's an irrational number? How are you going to be mitzamtzem? You can't be mitzamtzem in an irrational number, right?
Do we have irrational numbers?
Of course we have an irrational number.
We have. Did they have?
Of course they did. They said, make your tefillin merubah in the alachson. That means that the measurement of the alachson has to be accurate for a square of that size. The problem is that the Pythagorean theorem yields an irrational number, the square root of 2. So it's clear that since, according to the Gemara, everywhere the square root of 2 is rounded off to 1.4, this the Gemara says all over the place, wherever you have an ama, it's an ama and shtei chamishiyot balachsonan. So it's obvious that the Torah is not mechayev you with diuk beyond that stage. We have the same thing in terms of pi. The Torah is very happy that pi should equal 3. Doesn't mind that that's an irrational number. You'll never be able to be mitzamtzein. Who cares? So that's a separate question. what is the shir that you're trying to be mitzamtzim to? And that's a very interesting shaila that Rav Meishan that's always asked. You have an opportunity of buying a pair of tefillin, which the measurements of the ribua and the square, one of them is 1.4, and the other one is 1.41, right? It's closer. And it costs a dollar more to get the 1.41.
Is that a
heat or mitzvah? He says, absolutely not. Don't pay one penny extra. Don't even matter to you about choosing one over the other. You could choose it blindly. Because as far as the Torah is concerned, they're both exactly the same. There's no such thing as 1.41. And therefore, the additional diuk and the squareness is not even, it's not relevant to halacha. So the halacha is, it would be like saying, I buy lettuce that is so kosher that it doesn't even have any microscopic bacteria on it. It's been sterilized and washed. And you don't have to worry about eating my lettuce, but you have to pay 50 cents extra per pound. Forget about it. Don't pay a penny. That's exactly the same thing. So that has nothing to do with tzimtzum. That is what is the tzimtzum to? That's the question. Tzimtzum would only come about where you don't have instruments that are good enough to get to the level of the dimensions that the Torah is being mocked on. Okay? So there the question is, maybe the Torah didn't give a shear at all, do your best, in which case there's nothing to be but tzimtzum to ever. Or maybe, after the tzimtzum, you do have to do your best, but you always have to define what that number is before you get onto the question of after the tzimtzum. Rachel she yalda mineis at Rav Hoshaya minarda ve'aitem atnita biyadei Rachel bat eiz ve'eiz bat Rachel Rabbi Meir mechayev ve'chachamim potri. Omele Rav Hoshaya l'rabba, I gotta tell you, I have no idea what he's talking about. Ki ayalta l'kami d'Ravuna, could you please ask him what this brayta meant? Rabbi Meir mechayev, for what? I mean, it doesn't make sense to me. Ilema l'bechora. Surely, you're not claiming that letle the Rebbe Meir, ach b'chor shor, achehu shor, b'chor shor. Ela what? It's l'reshita geiz. Ah, come on. V'letle hada tana revei Rebbe Yishmol, kvasim shetzimran kashe, piturimi reshita geiz, shenembo b'geiz kvasayit chamam. Omar le, always run and ask, run and ask. Nirze anam. Hachom ha'eskinan, b'rachel sheyalda min eiz, ve'aviv tayash. And the problem over here is legabe otoved beno bechoshin lezera av meaning otoved beno kamiflege. Rabbi Meir says chayav meaning choshin lezera av. Therefore, you're not allowed to share both in one day. Rabbanan zavre in choshin lezera av. Come on, Rabbi. I mean, if that's the case, yachri liflegu bechoshin lezera av ba'alma bepluk to the kananya v'rabbanan. What are they creating this case? Elo liolam libechora. But Rachel, but it's Rachel is a bat eiz. So Marsava, look it. What is a nidma? It looks exactly like its mother. Zil batari me. It's not a nidma. Marsava, no, but it's not looking like grandma. Zil batari ime di ime. And therefore it's a nidma. Therefore it is now potter from the Bechora. Vibaitema. We could be talking about a Rachel that is a bat eiz bat Rachel, in exactly the opposite way. Where Mar Sova Chazra Sayut Lebekoman, and even though it does not look like mommy, it does look like grandma. And after all, mommy really was a seh in disguise, looking like a goat. The better to eat you with, my dear. Umar Sova Lo Chazra Sayut Lebekoman. Rav Ashi Omer, it's very simple. You're supposed to understand that we're talking about a case where yesh bo miktzat simanim. The Chachamim hold that miktzat simanim is not enough because the Chachamim are Rabbi Shimon. And he holds ad she rosh of a rubo domalimo, and over here it's only miktzat simanim domalimo. Omer Rabbi Yochanan, Moder Rabbi Meir Besar Shalosh Chodesh, the Be'iran ben Si'ira ad kol adorot. My time on Makra Echad. Echad means amiuchad ubami sheshit ime breshit. I thought nidma is learned from there. I thought it's learned from shoro kesev oez, shoro kesev prat kilayim, oez prat nidma. Wow, tzricha. Di miatam abam biran bin ayechad alonachid adare. אבל איך אתה נחת לדרים עלו? ואם יחה, אבל מן הוואה, אני מנת לגבי קורבן חובה, אבל לדבר לא צריך. אומר רבי אחא בר יעקב, הכל מודים דאין לו קינת צמרו משום כליים, שאומר לו תלבש שעטנז צמרו פישטים. מה פישטן לא נשתנה, אף צמר שלא נשתנה. אומר רב פאפה, כל מינים שצמרו, מודים שצמרו פסול לתחילת, שאומר לו תלבש שעטנז גדילים תעשה לך. מה פישטן שלא נשתנה, אף צמר שלא נשתנה. אומר נחמן יצחק, כל מודים שאין צמרו בטעמי בנגוי, שנאמר בבגד צמר או בבגד פשטים, מה פשטים שלא נשתנה, אף צמר שלא נשתנה. אומר רשי, I want to get into the fray too. אף אונו נאמר, הידלה, גפן, אגבי תאינה, ינו פסול הנסחים. מה תאימה? זבח הנסחים. מה זבח שלא נשתנה, אף נסחים שלא נשתנה. מה תקיף לו רבינה, if you're going to call that נשתנה? זה הידלה פשטן אגבי אינה, you'd call that נשתנה too? So then in Cain lo matzi tam at the whole drasha. Ma pishta shalom nishtana, pishta nami mishtana. Amalei, no, no, no. I'm talking about a nishtana that's detectable. Ze nishtana recho, veze lo nishtana recho. Racha shalom bichra v'yalda shnei zecharim, and we see the yatsu shnei roshim kechat. Rabbi Yossi aglili omer shneiam lakohen. Shnei ma zecharim la'ashem. וחכמים אומרים, אי אפשר לצמצם, it's only reasonable to assume that just one is a בכור, אחד לא ואחד לכהן. What do you do? רבי טרפון אומר, הכהן בורר לו את היפה, and רבי עקיבא אומר, משמנים ביניהם, והשני, of course, the Israel can't keep until he ראה שיסתאב, and then he can check that to eat it, but it's going to be חייב במתנות. And רבי יוסי says, no, it's still potter for מתנות. מת אחד מהם, רבי טרפון אומר יחלוקו, רבי עקיבא אומר המוציא מחבר עליו הראי, זכר ונקבה, אין כאן לכהן כלום. אמר לבי רבי ענא, look, it's clear that לרבי יוסי הגלילי, we see from here, דרשמין עלי דיומר, אפשר לצמצם, even בידי שמיים, כל שכן, when you set everything up for צמצום, for sure you can assume אפשר לצמצם בידי אדם. Whereas the Rabbanan are saying here, B'dei Shamayim at a birth, Iyev Shalat Samtzen. But what would the Rabbanan hold about a case B'dei Adam? My. Tashma Chut Shal Sikra, Chogro Behem Tzalavdil Ben Adamim El Yonim, Ben Damim Tachtanim. I mean, if you're going to say that a little bit of Rabbanan, Iyev Shalat Samtzen B'dei Adam, so then how can you make a Chut HaSikra? Zinu Deka Yoav Yon Lamata, Tachtan Lamala. Well, I mean, come on, we don't make literally a chut shel sikra, we make a 1 centimeter chut shel sikra. So the mirvach bapurta, tashma, mibidat kelim, mibidat mizbeach, and apparently we could be yaitse. No, that's different, because the Torah never said to do more. Shani atab drachmano amar avid becholech, and matzit lameva nechalei. That's what I wanted when I said this, and it's not some objective reality of an ama v'chetzi, but I mean mechza, that's a reality. Hakol v'chtav miyad Hashem al ha'iskim. Omrev gatina toshma. Chilko a tanur made of cheres, l'shnayim. And they're exactly the same. They're not. And shneihem have to be considered to be tameh, because there's a rove here in one piece. And yev shalat zemtzim. Omrev Kana, well, yeah, of course, you got to look at the material. I mean, Shainei Klicheres, everybody agrees, Yev Shalat Zantem, but that's because Hayov Yeshbo Gumot. But that doesn't affect the underlying concept. It's just the technology stinks. Tashma, Nimtza Mechuvan Ben Shtei Ayarot, Shtei Hen Meviot Shtei Agalot. Give Rebbe Eliezer. Now, I assume that Rebbe Eliezer agrees with Rabbanan, and it's because he holds that a libra rabbanan, bidei adam efshalat samsem. And even though the Torah said only the ir hakrova, krova could mean krovot. No, nothing of the sort. Rabbi Yezir doesn't hold a rabbanan at all. So have a look, Rabbi Yezir Aglili, who holds efshalat samsem, even bidei shamayim, kol shekein bidei adam. That was the recording from the 12th cycle. Today's Daf Yomi. Here is the recording of the previous cycle, cycle number 11 of the equivalent Daf. quite a different ambience, quite a different attendance. You may like to review the daf with it, or perhaps use it as your actual initial learning. Enjoy. Okay, we're holding today on daf Yud Zayin. One line down from the big lines. So the next case that the Mishnah brought up was Rachel Shiyalda min Eiz, the Eiz Shiyalda min Rachel. In either case, it's Potter min Abachar, because of the Sul and Nidna. We saw before either we learned that Sul out of Petach Hamor that is said twice, or we learn it from the Bechor Shor, Bechor Kerfes, and before Eiz, Achei Hushor, Bechor Shor, etc. Now we had a machlokas in the previous parak whether the Iker Limud is given by Kedushas Damim, we learn not Kedushas Guf from it, in other words, from Behemoth's Mea, and we learn not Behemoth's Eros from it, and vice versa. Now, Archer Roshia bin Narada, when Roshia came in from Narada, he brought along with him a brisa that said, I see Madita Biyade, quote, Rachel bat Eitz, the Eitz bat Rachel, Rabbi Meir Mechayev, the Chachamim Potri. This seems to be discussing our Mishnah. Looks like, remember when it says bat, I mean, it's just, that's always a reference to the species. Remember, the you doesn't mean, we've used the word you throughout here to mean the species that has ewes, because in the Torah, some could mean either goats or sheep. So rochel simply means a sheep, and aiz means a goat. When we say bat, it doesn't mean a female, it means the outcome of, and in the same way the aim is an aim, the child is a box. Yeah, in this general sense. So I mean, our assumption is we're talking about a rochel bat eitz, meaning an eitz shiyalda min rochel. It's the case of our Mishnah. The Mishnah says, unless it has mitzvah simonim, the din is that you're not chayav in b'chor. And yet in the bright of Rav Oshia, it says Rabbi Meir is mechayav, I guess, in Bechor, it's not clear. But Chachamim Potri, this is very confusing. It's so Rav Hoshia said to Rabba, you know what? When you get to speak to Rav Huna, ask him what this brisa meant. When Rabbi Meir Mechayev, in terms of what? I mean, for Bechor? You mean Rav Bechor, Rabba, let Rabbi Meir ak Bechor Shor. He doesn't hold to the drasha of Nidme. Whoever heard of that? I mean, we had a whole discussion in the last parak. We saw there was a machlokas which drasha, but not if there's a drasha. Ella, could it be that the discussion in this brisa had nothing to do with Bechor, and it was a discussion of wool? What type of wool? Rochel shiyalda min eitz, is that considered to be a wool that is chayav and reishis hageis? Because, I mean, after all, it needs to be, we saw before, it needs to be dafka a racha. That can't be. Because would he argue on the famous son of the Rabbi Shmuel that we saw before, even a keves, shitzimran kasha, is put in the reishis hageis? Forget about the species. There's another issue you have to consider, namely the wool. The quality of the wool is such that it is aze-like, it's goat-like, then it doesn't provide sufficient warmth. And there you have a different question, because of the gaze kvasai yitchamein, we have to be talking about wool that forms little air pockets. So and that's fine wool. Aze-wool would anyway be thought of. I mean, forget about it. It's hard to believe that the discussion of yours to which technical species is considered to be the aze-bas rocha. It's still going to be a problem of Geis Kvasai. Omar Lay, so he said, you know, let's try to figure this out. Let's think about it over here. I would say, how about if we consider that we're talking about a case, when we say Rochel Shiyalda min Eiz, we mean it was Yalda min Eiz because it mated with a goat. That's the truth. In other words, the U has an A's, not because of mutation, but because its father was a Tayash. Why are we bringing it this way? Because what we're looking for is essentially a machlokas or the man the chachamim as to whether koshin was zera ha'av. Here we have a very interesting case. We actually see the genetic impact of the father's input in the child. Father's a goat, the child's a goat. So the question is, okay, even if you hold normally maybe ein cheshen lezera ha'av, like we saw before in Chulin, but lechora in a case where you see the impact of the zera ha'av, how can you say ein cheshen lezera ha'av? Maybe there we should say that even though we learned before oto ve'et b'no, actually is only the mother and the child, lo tishchatu b'yom echad, but in this case we trace the father. So there were medina oto ve'et b'no even on the father. Don't check the father and the child, the yom echad, and that's the machlokes. The Rabbi Meir savar choshishim lezera ha'av, Rabbanan savri in choshishim lezera ha'av. Maybe that's what it's all about, and it has to do with oto ve'et b'no, not with before, not with reishis hageitz. Completely different issue over here. Says the Gemara, it's very difficult to believe. I mean, Ihachi, lips with the question is there Av Ba'alma? The Tutsi, the Chananya, the Rabbana? Let them just argue. I mean, there's a long standing, my focus, Chananya and Rabbana, about whether the question is there Av, which we had back in Fulham, which simply reads, Oso Vezbeno is Mutter to check the father and the child, or Oso? According to Chananya, it's also because the question is there Av. What do we have to create the case? Obviously, we already said there's a very important reason to create the case. The reason to create the case is because over here we're talking about that the father's genes change the way that the child looks. So we want to talk about that siddush. How do they feel about Kershon Lezera'av in that circumstance? Tosfos ain't nothing on it. But the Gemara holds that if you have a standing machlokas, to switch it suddenly for a whole new thing because you're adding some new knach in it, it's just, it's not the way things are done. This is not a strong enough difference to say, let's go away from our model machlokas of Chananya and Rabbanan and try something else. Okay. This does this approach. So anyway, we're stuck. Bechor, it doesn't make sense to say it's talking about a Bechor because we have two psukim. One by Behemet Meir and one by Behemet Her that tells me that a Nidme is parching. Zachary Meir says, doesn't make sense to start by Reishis HaGeiz because forget about the species, you have to worry about the quality of the wolf. Doesn't make sense it's talking about Oso Vezbeno because it would be too strange of a way to make the Machlokas. We would have rather simply said, is it Mutz to Shech, the father and a child on the same day? Right, you're not in the Rambam? Let's go back, therefore, since the Gemara Le'olam Livchora. Actually, my focus is Magia Bechor. Aye, what about the Pasuk? How could Rabbi Meir argue with the din that Nidme is Potter on Bechor? Because Hachava, my Askinan, Berachel, Bat Rachel, Bat Eitz. The point over here is the Rachel itself is the same as the species. In other words, the grandchild over here that was Yolda, that is a different shape. But not from the mother.
Skip a generation?
No, it didn't skip a generation. It's the second generation of this mutation. A Rachel comes from an AIDS, but now when it reproduces, it has a Rachel. So now the Shaila is it's Daima Laima, isn't it? And it's certainly the same species of its mother, because so my Savazil Bosar Iman. So one man the Amar holds, look at the mother. That's Rabbi Meir is saying. The mother and the child have the same shape. So it's not a Nidma. A Nidma is a mutation from its mother, not a second generation mutation. And my Savazil Bosar Iman, I love Nidma, therefore it's fired. But the Chachomim hold my Savazil Bosar Iman. I mean, you have to look where it came from. It came from a line of Ezim. And now it's the second generation of the mutation that doesn't look like Ezim. So Mamela, it's considered to be a Nidma. But it's not Gemina, so you have two generations that look the same. But ultimately, this is not really
there's only one age involved. Only father of the...
No fathers.
That father...
No fathers. There are no fathers. This is the Mother Mary of the age. No father.
I was going to say this is a blessing.
We don't talk about the father. The father could be is also a tebet. So it's an ayah. Now we're seeing a whole different shot. We're not going on with this shot before. Ella, change our mind now. Getting back to Bechor. Or, you know what? We could say it's talking about, this is an interesting thing, say it's talking about the two cases that were mentioned over here. Rachel bat Eiz, the Eiz bat Rachel, are not two cases, they're one case. Rachel bat Eiz, where that Eiz was the bat of a Rachel. So in other words, there was one generation in the middle that was mutated. Now, this generation looks like its grandparents and great-grandparents, but it doesn't look like its mother. That's the problem. But the mother's a mutation anyway. So the Shaila is, how does Nidma look? Is Nidma a local thing, or Nidma knows is the way it's supposed to be with its species?
In fact, it looks different, it still smells different, and the
breed
is trying to get it back to the
mother. That's right. So we might be talking about a Rachobat Eiz, Bat Rachel. It was Rachobat Eiz, the Eiz Bat Rachel. So Marsha, Bechazra Seyut L'mikoma, one man Yomit says, look, things have gone back to normal, basically. We had one generation in which there was a mutated mother, child, and the child became a mother. So that mutation looked like an ace, but it didn't really. It was really a rachel anyway. So the old seyut is coming back out again. You can't hide it forever. So Mamela, it's fine now. The other man, the Amma, also looks at. You have the mutation in the middle. It's not Nidma Le'ima, and therefore it's going to be a Nidma. You can't say now we're back to normal. Ravash Yama. Kedonshiyeshbo Mikzat Simani. You know what? What was the whole problem in the Brisa? Then how could Rabbi Meir argue on the fact that you need to have a Yushar and a Choroshar? But we always said that if you have Mikzat Simanim, then the Nidma. The Mishnah says that the Perish. Why not simply say that the Brisa is talking about a case where it does have mitzvah simonim? You'll say to them, how could the Chachomim say your potter? The Chachomim here could be Rabbi Shimon. Remember, we had Rabbi Shimon in the previous parak who also need Rosh HaVerubo, similar between the blood and the mother. And we don't have Rosh HaVerubo, so the Chachomim is saying it's potter because it's a Nidma. And Rabbi Meir, who is the time of our Mishnah, said, since there's a mixed simon and mitzvah, everything works out beautifully. That way we don't have to create any new cases at all.
Parents told him we don't need his work. He needs to be.
Maybe you should go over there.
You said it.
Go ahead.
Everything said.
Yes.
No, I don't want nothing.
Yeah. So he's not going to care how often it happens. The Shabbos, what does the Torah mean when it says that? You need to understand that.
It doesn't really happen at all. If
the Gemara talks about it,
there's a nice picture of it we even have.
It's
in that book, there's a picture where they have a mother who's an ace and a child who's a rachel. That new, but that isn't it? Barnea has it, the book on the cross. Okay. Rabbi, let us continue. Omar Rabbi Yochanan made Rabbi Meir b'Seir Shalosh Chodesh the Be'inat Ben Tira. Now, even though we said before that in a case where you have a one generation mutation, then it goes back, the next generation looks like the grandparents. So Lagabi the din of Bechor, Rabbi Meir said, Chazra Seyut Unikuma. We've gone back to the old-fashioned ways now. And we're following the genetic instructions that we used to follow. Correct. Even though Rabbi Meir said that Gabi Bechor, but he's made it that if you're bringing a Sawyer of Rosh Chodesh, and that doesn't mean only a Sawyer of Rosh Chodesh, a Sawyer of any Chia, the Regalim, and the Regalim in Rosh Chodesh, where we have Seirei, Seirei Achatos that you're Chayavim. that you need to have a Sawyer whose mother looks like a Sawyer. You can't skip a generation. Why is that? My time. On my cross, Yir Echad, which by the way says by all of the students, Yir Echad is Katat. Echad means Hamyuchad Uba Misheshit Yimei Bereshit. But that's the Echad. It's a Sa'ir. Sa'ir Echad is the chart that this is the Sa'ir that has been consistently a Sa'ir from Sheshit Yimei Bereshit. In other words, it's the unique Sa'ir that has been following its genetic plan from the beginning. Not a Sa'ir that has evinced somewhere along the lines confusion in executing its instructions.
So anyway, any line back to Jesus Christ, the fact that there was a shift.
That's right. The Torah is interested in only those species that keep to their instructions. That we saw in the story of Bereshit many times. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was very mocked on keeping to the instructions of DNA.
Allowing for the possibility of mutations.
No, we don't accept mutations. Mutations we throw out.
But
we won't take them on the Mizbeach. If you want to be bad and not follow the rules, you don't get on the Mizbeach. Says the Gemara Bahami Hachanafka, Mihasanafka. Shor O Kesev, Pratlakilai, O A's, Pratlanidma. Everybody knows that you can't bring a nidma to the mizbeach. Oh, come on, you know what the answer to that. If it would have said that, I already know that the point over there is there's an akamina of a nidma that is no longer nidma. It's gone back to its place. Rabbi Meir's story is that that's not nidma when it comes to Bechor. So you would just say nidma, I would say, oh, that nidma means where it's a nidma to its mother. And if it would have only had said this case of echad, which would have meant that it has to be consistent in its genetic instructions from the beginning till today. Hava mina hani mili legabe korban chova hava nidava lo. I would have said, okay, that's by the Sayer echad. I understand that over there we have a hakpada. But by a Sawyer of Nadava? Maybe not. Therefore, Tzricha, I need to know that Benogea, the entire sugya of your Kachim, Bechor, or Choiva, is considered to be the same, and it's a pagam in Nidna.
So, the Dalai is a special
Sayer means one Sayer. Bisayir l'chatat? What does Bisayir l'chatat mean? In Hebrew, you always say one without saying one. If you say just the species, it's one. Okay, then we'll have to dash in that too. Anything else? You know, it's interesting that the Sayer Shal Rosh Chodesh, you know, the Rishonim talk over here. Why do we choose the Sayer Shal Rosh Chodesh? So both Tosfos and Rashi here say we choose the Sayer Shal Rosh Chodesh because that's the first one that's mentioned. But we could have chosen any of them. But the truth is, remember back in Chulon, we saw that the Sayer Shal Rosh Chodesh is unique because it says La Hashem. So that it's a reference back to my separations. Because it was needed to be Mechaper Kiwo and HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the Miyut Ayareya. So the search of Rosh Chodesh, as opposed to the other Seirim, the other Seirim are dependent in the Chiddush of Yisrael on Rosh Chodesh. Right? But the search of Rosh Chodesh was something that is a reference back to the creation of Rosh Chodesh.
When Rosh Chodesh occurs, defines when the
Moedim occurs. That's also true. That's why it's first. I'm saying in terms of tracing it back to Bereshit, that's very important. That's unique to Rosh Chodesh.
One of the same here
in Rosh Chodesh, it's brought La Shem as opposed to La Zazel. Here it's brought for Hashem. whole different thing. Of course. Anyway, so let's continue. So now we have a tzitzis on why we need both. Omer Rabbi Acha by Yaakov, just you should know that if that's a portion, there's a lot of different dinim that we never thought about that has to do with this question of mutations. Because what would be the din of wearing kilayim that came from wool, that came from a type of thing of a seh that was not a seh ledorotav? It had a mutation. Would I be chayav on kilayim? It looks like a seh, smells like a seh, the wool is very seish wool, right? But we know that it's not a seh that's from sheishis and beberashis. Of course, kilayim is also fundamental in my separations. It's not just a, it's not a local thing, kilayim. It goes all the way back to the machlokas of Kayin and Hevel. You do semer of Yupishtim, essentially. That's why Dorsh of Semer of Pishtim is the essence of Drosh of Rashi's Kayin, which is Terim. So you should know when it comes to kilayim, you wouldn't be getting Malkus. This is, how do we know this? Because the Torah puts lo tilba shat is semer u'pishtim. What is that semer u'pishtim? Just like pishtim, lo nishtana. Pishtim is pishtim, is pishtim. We keep using the same seed. Av semer shalo nishtana. Am rechopa ko modim shetzimra posel etzelas. By the same token, you can't make your tzitzis or the Bidei Kahuna with this type of tzeilis. Shinama lo tzubashat neiz gedilin tathamachah. The Torah puts together the tzemer pishtim with the gedilim and the tzitzit. Just like a pishtim is lo nishtana, af tzemer lo nishtana. Omer mach ba yitzvah kol modim shein tzimra mitzame ben agayim. What's more, the tzemer from this type of thing would not be makabal tumas ben agayim if it got a nega in the beged. Shinama, Babeget semer or babeget pishtim? Ma pishtim shalomishtana? Ab semer shalomishtana? You understand that there are fantastic Ramazim over here. Why this is coming here in the Sugya of Beferes? Because the machlokas of semer and pishtim is the machlokas about Bechor. Question of kayin vehevel, that's why pishtim is called pishtim. Pishtim is pishtayim, which is the chelek of a Bechor, who gets both, right? He gets points. That's why the Chazal said they were arguing about the extra tuma. Who gets to marry the extra tuma? Was it Kayin or was it Hevel? So Lamaisa, it's really Nogea, like the Bereshis, the union of Bukhar. So there's Bukhar also, same way we saw the other genetic issues in terms of Nochash, animals, and trees, on the other hand. Doing the same thing over here.
Pshita?
Okay, but this could be no day of the next Mishnah. Because it's Evshel Samson. That's the next figure. Yeah, the Gemara says the finish. Shnayim Olu Lamita and Arba Yod. It's also pretty much of a problem because they never went through a normal pregnancy, right? Because they reproduced in Gan Eden. In Gan Eden, there were no pregnancies. Just a period.
Presto.
Well, it says presto as things in this world appear.
Yeah.
Everything appears to be presto. Nobody's aware of what's going on underneath.
So labor.
Yeah, you just said something.
Labor.
That's absolutely incredible. You just spoke.
Yes.
Presto. And so what were the mechanisms that allowed those words to come out? You don't have an idea. Neither does anybody else. Fine, it's all presto. So, I mean, if you never heard of pregnancies, you wouldn't have said presto. You would have said, that's how it goes. Okay. So that's how it went. The Gemara says, Shnayim Olu Lamita.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That's how it goes. Why not? Well, you need all this mechanical nonsense?
No.
Well, that's a shame. That's the Thompson. That's the next trivia now we're getting into. Okay, anyway, we've had fun, but now we better go. Omer Avashi Af Onu Nomar. Look, I mean, you guys are really interesting. I mean, I can do one of these sticks too about things that have to remain unchanged. Look, I would say like this. Suppose you have a vine. Now you want to support that vine, and you are modeling the vine on a fig tree. I would say you can't use the wine for the nesach. Why? Because it says zevach nesachim, just like the zevach was lo nishtaneh. I'm going to go back in the other direction. We proved that the zevach can't be nishtaneh from seyir echad. So if that's true, the nesachim can't be nishtaneh. And by putting a vine over a te'ina, you're making a shinui in it.
In the vine.
Yes, the Gemara, if that's the case, Master for Ravina, Ravina has a real attack over here. Hidla pishtan agabe yiga. Okay, so suppose you grow some pishtan over a thorn tree now. Yeah. What are you going to do? You're claiming that growing it over something else is a shinui. But the whole basis that we had all along about Temra Pishtin is that Pishtin you can't change.
Pishtin is Pishtin.
Pishtin is Pishtin. According to you, it's not, because it now is Higa Pishtin. What are you going to do about that? So you're going to call that Lishtini. In Ten Loma Tzutam Red Ma Pishtin Shalom Nishtanet, or Pishtin Hami Nishtanet. Ha ha ha, now I got you. Oh, my lane, no, you missed the point. It's not the fact that it grows on a te'ina. It's that everybody knows if you grow a geffen on a te'ina, the wine has a smell of te'ina in it. So there...
Everybody knows.
Therefore, ze nishtane recho. Ze lo nishtane recho. But Christian, it's not called a change. But in the vine, there is absorbed the change. And that indeed is nishtane. Rachel Shalom Bichrana. Here is, we discussed this earlier in the first paragraph about the question, is it Efshel Tzamtzem? Can we have two Bichorot? Is there always only one? Because we don't know which one. So here we have a Rachel that had never had its firstborn. The Yaldash Shnei Zecharim. The Atzu Shnei Roshem Kerchatz. That's the cloth out the first. A bikra, a low bikra is the way we refer to animals that are chayvim before, because we have a series of mishnayot now. Achas bikra, vachas shalom bikra. We have to start identifying them. So we start off with a rock of shalom bikra. Now it gets two boys. Both of their heads come out simultaneously. Rabbi Yossi Aglili says, Shneyam lekoi? Because otherwise, why does the Torah write Hazicharim LaHashem? It talks about called Peterechem. And then it says Hazicharim. It's a Peterechem. It's Lashon Yachid. How did it change to be Lashon Rabim? El had to tell you that even if you have two Zicharim that are part of the Rechem, both of them go to the Kohen. But Chachamim Omrim, Iyab Shalat Samson. The Chachamim say, look, there's no way for us to say that they both came out at precisely the same instant. It was a moment in which one had gotten ahead of the other one, and that one was the rove. You can't measure it. Therefore, only one of them is going close to the Kohen. The other one belongs to the Yisrael. Elayachad lo ve'echad l'kohen. Now, what do you do? How do you know which one is which? Obviously, you don't. So you have over here a situation which you have two suffix b'chayres. Legabe, the financial aspect, you have a motzi mechaver all of a raya, but the coins to say, look, I don't have to have a raya that you owe me one. Now we just have to discuss which one. So Rabbi Tarfon says, HaKohen Borer Lo Et HaYafa. Interestingly enough, even though a motzi mechaver all of a raya, you'd say, okay, so he gets the less. Because the other guys, the Yisrael says to him, well, prove that the better one is the first one, and I'll give it to you. Nonetheless, as Rabbi Tarfon, the Kohen chooses the nice one. We'll see in the Gemara, because he holds that the one that is delivered first is the one that is more viable. So Mamela, it's been struggling already. It's the survival of the fittest. So the first one to get out would have been the nicer one. Therefore, the growing container to give me the nicer one. Rabbi Akiva, are you there? Mishamnin b'nehem. Rabbi Akiva says what you have to do is you have to analyze the shuman between the two of them. That's what they're arguing about, is the one that's fatter. So the value of that extra fat is what they argue about. How much am I going to have all the Vasheni, the second one, the leftover one, Yira'eh Achi Yistaev. Now, of course, the Kohen's Bechor also has to be Yira'eh Achi Yistaev, because you can't bring it on the Mizbeah, because you don't know it's a Bechor. Maybe it's Chulin Lazar, it's a Safik. So he also will be Yira'eh Achi Yistaev. The reason we talk about Hasheni is because we want to say Chayav B'Matanot. The Kohen does not Chayav B'Matanot, because the Kohen says, look, you know, no Manavshah. I mean, I, one way or the other, it's mine. So therefore, I have no problem. Rabbi Yossi puts here, as Rabbi Yossi says, no, even the other one's not tied in the Matanot. Now we'll see, actually, in the next Mishnah, Rabbi Yossi's logic, the world will discuss, Rabbi Yossi's logic is that in this case, it's as if the Kohen was Zocha to it. Now that they split it up, it's like the Kohen gave his chelek to the Yisrael. And in that case, you'd be part of our matzahs. Rabbi Tarfon, how about if one of them died before they split it this way? So Rabbi Tarfon, now this is a total contradiction to what Rabbi Tarfon said before. Rabbi Tarfon said before, the nicer one is the Kohen. So why is Rabbi Tarfon saying now they should split it if one died? He should say, if the nice one died, the Kohen lost. So Gemara holds that Rabbi Tarfon at Harot. And in the Sefer of the Mishnah, it says Rabbi Tarfon was Yachloka because he changed his mind from the Reisha. And he had that basically both of them had the rights to both because of the suffering. Rabbi Akiva says, look, how much you make Haver, all of our ayah. One of them died. Prove to me. You come to me, Mr. Cohen, you say, give me the half of a Bechor. I said, how do we know that that Bechor didn't die? Prove to me that, that the one that is alive is yours. I'll be happy to give some to you. I just said Rabbi Tarfon changed his mind. That's why I said it. But he did change it. Zarkav and Akeva, if there are two children, one is a female. So now, how do we know that it's the male that came out? And over here, Rabbi Tarfon himself would also be made it, because the original Rabbi Tarfon. Because the only reason Rabbi Tarfon was willing to say that he gets a nice one is because with Monachak, one of them is definitely the Kohen. Once we know La'alotha, the Kohen owns this, so therefore he can tie that he wants this one. Masha'im came in a case over here, maybe has no zikus at all to anything. I'm a Kvei Rav Yana. This case, you know, it's not a suffix. Oh, what do you mean, in terms of the halach, not Kohen? You said suffix of Kohen. Yes, suffix of a Bechor, of course. We always have a suffix of Bechor. We can't be made only Yitzhak. You're going to have to wait until we get a moon. So now, even though Rabbi Tarfon a moment ago said Yachloku, which means that over here you should be able to say, no, Yachloku, at least. Give me half of this offer. But in this case, there's no assumption of ownership at all. Therefore, he can't say Yachlok. Right? Makes sense. I'm a debater of the Anai. Rabbi Yossi Aglili Shamini Legomer Epshulat Samson Gedei Shamayim. Look, Rabbi Yossi Aglili is saying that even something which is random, we call that Gedei Shamayim. Right? So even something which is random, we have to be chashish that it happened at the same minute. Instantly. And it's actually what's answer. Kosher can't be day Adam. Certainly if you set out to make something happen at one time. If you want to measure something exactly. And you want to make things at exact measurement. You're trying to make fillings that are exactly square. Actually what's answer. It's possible to do that. Because even Minat Shamayim is possible to do that. Kosh came to the Yadam, it's possible to do that. Obviously, Minat Shamayim does not mean God does it. Minat Shamayim means it's random, and therefore even something random can be exact. Kosh came to the Yadam where you set out to make it exact, of course it can be exact. It's a very important Gemara that shows you that random is called Bidei Shamayim.
We say the opposite.
Try to speak without getting ahead of yourself, so that it's possible to hear you.
By Yitzhak Mitzrayim, don't kick out the Torah. Don't we say like the opposite over there?
We believe that God can be mitzamzim, but random events we would normally assume are very unlikely to be called mitzamzim. If God sets out to do something with him, so neither God is our Kol Yachol. That's what I'm trying to show you. You see, the Gemara does not hesitate to use Bidei Shamayim the way that we use in English an act of God. The guy who says an act of God doesn't even believe in God. He's calling it an act of God because it was a random event, such as a hurricane and so on and so forth.
That's the legal term.
Exactly. I'm saying the legal term, an act of God, means a random event.
Over there,
it depends how you understand the kechatzos. But if it means literally chatzos, not kechatzos, or like by my separations, Rakodesh Baruch Hu Shiyodea, let some say midaisa. So over there, he can tell you vayir vayivoker. But for an adam, you don't say after nichas vefer yotze. So looks like you're mashvi, as Rashi says, right? So again, the meaning of Bidei Shamayim is that something that happens randomly, what are the chances that it's going to happen at precisely the same instant? If you set out to make it happen, it's a different thing. So according to Rabbi Yossi Aglili, if even random events, we take into consideration the possibility that they happen at exactly the same instant. So Koshkin, if a person wants to make something exact, he can. Mashen King, according to the Chachamim, what's the din? Rabbanan, we see in the Mishnah of Rabbanan hold that Bidei Shamayim Iyav Shalatzam. A random event we do not see as happening at exactly one to be exactly the same as the other. Bidei Adam Mai, what's the din of Bidei Adam? Is it Ef Shalatzam thing or not?
This only a physical thing, we can never get to exactly.
Yes. We'll see. We'll see. It's a very, very complicated subject. Very complicated. We'll talk about it. I mean, Tosfos here raises some of these issues and so on. So what's the halacha? Toshma, chutzal sikra kol grobe emtzal havda ben damim elyon ben damim natachtoni. It said that when we built the mizbeah, we put a red line around the middle to define the difference between the dam on the top and the dam on the bottom. Now, if you're telling me E.F. Charlotte's, I'm saying, how could we put a red line there and have some of the dam that's above the red line may actually be beneath the red line, and vice versa, because E.F. Charlotte's, I'm saying. So what are we putting it there for? We're all messing things up. E.F. Charlotte's, I'm saying, bidei adam. Then zinin de koyoyev al yonim lamata v'tachtonim lamala. So how could we put a chuta sikra? Obviously, we believe that we're doing it accurately.
How thin is it?
Oh, answers the Gemara, the mirror before it's how thin is it? It's not so thin. You make it a red line with a marker. So the marker is thick. So in Achinami, whatever's above it is for sure above it. Whatever's below it is for sure below it. The middle is indeed a gray area. Where would be a topic?
Wouldn't you want to minimize that gray area?
So the shaila is, how much is actually Samson? That's good for the shayla. But if you'd hold the if shayla tamsim, then you'd have to make it wide enough to include the tzimtzum. There obviously is a middle point. The question is, how do you find it?
Why would you increase the topic area instead of decrease the topic area?
Because if you're the Yif Shalatam Sein, then you can't rely on your definition.
Here's
Well, God, please, let me first go through the kitchen. We can't discuss it until we see the surge as a whole. Toshmani midat kelim. Look, I mean, the Torah tells us to make kelim. I'm a taim orko, I'm a vachetzi rochbo. I mean, I understand. What's with playing games? How are we supposed to make something in Amma if you have shalat samsin? So obviously the Torah holds that we are able to be mitzamsin. But Mizbeach has a certain size. How am I supposed to make it the right size? No, that's not a problem. The shiny answer that we can understand as meaning. The Rachmona Omar Avi, the Torah says you make it. I'm accepting your best efforts. Maybe that's what it means. Now there's another girsa that says, "Hakol bichtav miyad Hashem alai yiskiu." Rashi says, "Dump that," because what does that have to do with here? Okay. There is a way of incorporating that. The way to incorporate it is that what it's saying is that the Torah was matpiyah that we should do our best. And then I'll be Ruach HaKodesh, it will indeed work out to be mitzvah. Now that's a whole different idea. And that's why it says that Kobach Tab Miyad Hashem Alayhi Yizkiyu. We see that Ruach HaKodesh was Nocha on David for this issue. Memela, it means that you'll deserve to do so. I'll be Ruach HaKodesh. It's the same type of thing we find in the Mishnah, where HaKodesh Baruch Hu tells Moshe, look, you just bang on it, it'll end up being okay. Now this makes a tremendous nafkamina in how to learn the sugya. If you do have this girsa, if you don't have this girsa. Because if you don't have this girsa, then when it's saying shaynei hatam derachmona amar, it's different over here because the Torah says I will accept what you do, which is the way of learning it without the girsa, which Rashi takes out. Then that means that ef shalat samsim or ef shalat samsim does not mean is it ef shalat samsim la'alach. Because then the Torah is always saying, look, la halacha, obviously I accept however you see it. That's how I accept it. But if that is true, then the rest of the sugya becomes very problematic, as Tosis points out. We're going to talk about it, but I just pointed that over here. If this is a unique case in which the Torah is saying, I indeed insist for tzimtzum, but I will achieve the tzimtzum. You do your best and we'll make it happen. That's a different point. Now, remember that there's yet another issue, which is very confusing. The other issue is, what accuracy does the Torah mean when it uses a measurement? That's a different issue. Now, the fact that we have a local measure in Sinai, that tefillin is supposed to be merubaot, right? What accuracy do we mean by merubaot? So, basically, the Torah defines what we mean by merubaot. What does it mean? It means that the alakson should be Pythagoreanly correct. So what you do with these acres fill-in is you measure the alaksonim, and if the alaksonim match the sides correctly, then it's kosher fill-in. There's only one problem. That according to the Gemara, the square root of 2 is 1/5, which doesn't work, right? So it would be kosher amasayim barakbo. The Gemara's klal is you always go with an additional. In other words, if you have the 1.5, you come out with 1.7. It's not true. But we have the same thing in another place where the Torah gives us its level of accuracy is pi. According to the Torah, pi is 3. Now, every idiot knows pi is not 3. But in other words, the point is that the Torah is giving us the measurement that is the deer that it wants in the halacha. It does not expect greater accuracy, again, because we know that the Torah is given to primitives. It's not given for a human with sophisticated instruments. It's given to an animal human. This is the way you have to live in the world. You don't see bugs, they aren't there. Right, that's the why you're allowed to drink water. What about all those what about all those little bugs in there? And so on and so forth. Yeah. And so on and so forth. Therefore, in terms of the measurements, they're also given to this degree. So there, the Shaila of Eshel Tzamtzim, Yerushal Tzamtzim, is not Nogea Bichlal. In other words, to say I have a very accurate way, I can use a laser measurement of the tefillin, and I'll offer you tefillin that are muhudarot al pi laser, and I'll take an exactly, I'll take an extra $100 for doing this measurement. Says the Mishnah Brura, there's no advantage whatsoever in having a better measured tefillin than the amount that the Torah wants. It's simply not nageya. That's not the measurement of ribua. Lasers don't measure ribua, eyes do. The same thing with an esrog. You can't have a mark on the esrog. A mark on the esrog doesn't mean you take a magnifying glass, you look at the mark on the esrog. A mark on an esrog means you hold an esrog, it looks nice, it's fine. Okay, there, but you saw, it's like the New York thing. You see something, now you the magnifying glass to get a better sense of what the something is because your eyes aren't good enough. Okay. But the bottom line is, this wouldn't have to do with Eshel Tzamtzim. This has to do with the nature of the shear. Eshel Tzamtzim would only come into effect where you have a need to distinguish heft, for instance. Now there, I can't say it to be inaccurate, because then the other half is the roof. There, I have to distinguish half from roof, right? So if half is nishtat, it's not kosher. If rove is nishtat, it is kosher. Now over there, obviously the tzimtzum is essential because the two halves contradict each other. It's either this or that. Right? Or if I'm cutting through the tanur, which is the next case we're going to have, and I want to be mavata the tumor from the tanur, we're going to have the same question over there. Which side was the rove of the tanur?
Why should that be any difference
in
establishing
the visible thing, the measurement? Because I'm given the shear, but it doesn't, you can't say I have two things. My eyes say the robe is in both of these. Oh, that's ridiculous. You can't have two robes. So there you have no question. Or let's say you have an egg, you have a dead man. Now you have to measure to the nearest city. Right? So now, what's the nearest city? The nearest city is two cities. So maybe you should measure more accurately. How accurate? You can't say over there, well, the Torah is only marked pi equals 3. So therefore, my trig, and you have to get all the way to my trig. Yeah, you have to get all the way to your trig. That's if you don't run into a problem. But if you know it's either this city or that city, you better use trig that's accurate to Pythagoras, not to the Gemara.
Ridiculous.
Huh?
Ridiculous.
Says
the,
huh?
Well, it tells you how to measure.
I can't hear.
Well, it tells you how to measure from his nose to the rope.
Okay, but what happens when you run into a question of needing greater accuracy? These are the shouts that the Mark's going to raise. Omer of Katina Tashma, how about this case by the Tanur? Chal kol ha-shnayim ve'em shavim shnehem tamein l'fi she'yev sh'alat tamtein. Here it says you want to be a bavakal of Tanur. So therefore, you cut the tanur into two. If you cut the tanur into two, then you know now that that it would be no good. Unless, the question is, remember that you have to have rubo, right? You can't have, as long as you have rove of the tanur, it's not reft. So over here you cut it exactly into two parts. Both are tame, because you have to say that both of them, for all intents and purposes, are rove. Because I can't be sure that I have a half and a half, and therefore I don't have a rove of the tanur, even though I set out to cut it through the middle. And if I had cut it through the middle, I don't have a rove of a tanur anywhere. Therefore, the tanur ought to be tahor. So it's clear that even though you set out to be mitzamtzem, it doesn't work. This has got to be going according to Rabbanu. Answers the Gemara. Amar Rav Kana, Shani Kusharis. The material is the problem over there. The technology is the problem, not the measurements. to cut through Keres is obviously can't be Matanzah. Because Keres works with having little pieces. You have a guma on this side, you have an extension on that side. Of course, you can't be Matanzah. How are you going to be Matanzah? So, Shainik, which are so viejbo gumot. Now, obviously, again, on the level of our measurements, everything has gumot. The smoothest stocking for Shkita, if you look at it under a microscope, looks like it's completely choppy. There's no such thing as something that doesn't have gumot. You can't possibly, you cut something with a laser, it's going to be full of gumot. When you get down to the atomic level, we have one atom here and one atom there. I mean, what is this supposed to mean? So again, we're talking about on the level of our gross appreciation of it. So then what's the shayla of that shlatsansa? Tashma nimsa mechuvan ben shtei ayarot. You find someone murdered precisely between two cities. Shteihem meviot shtei agalot. Both of them have to bring one eglah rufa per city. Dibur Rav Eliezer. Why is that? Obviously because you measured exactly. So my time, la mishum zikasava bidei adam etchilatsamsa. He's saying you apparently measured it accurately. And even though there's no one city krova, he also, when the Torah says krova, it includes krovot. So a krova la halal, if there's two that are krovot exactly the same, both of them require an eglah rufa. But if the din were that iyah shalatan same, why would I bring two agalot? We'll bring one eglah rufa. Let them both. Split it, so we'll then make it tonight. If we're the ones who are chayav, it should be ours. If you're the ones who are chayav, it should be yours. But what would be the point of bringing two? So obviously he holds that the din is that they could be chayav both of them. So you see, that's what Tom said. Even according to Rabbanim. No. How do you know Rabbi Eliezer holds it, Rabbanim? Maybe Rabbi Eliezer Gufa holds Rabbi Eliezer Gwili. Rabbi Eliezer Gwili holds actual Tom said even the day Shammai. Koshi came to the Adam. Now here, Tosis, this was Rashi's check, okay, that I've been telling you all along. Tosis points out that this Gemara seems to be mad, according to Rashi, because the death of the person was random. And therefore, it shouldn't have happened exactly between two IROs. So even if Etzel Atzantin to the Adam, that's only because we set out to do it that way in the first place. But we don't believe that a random event happens precisely in this fashion. So even though we're measuring it now, we're measuring a random event. So if you hold it, the Iker, Yev Shal Atzamtim B'day Shamayim, what good would it do to add on Yev Shal Atzamtim B'day Adam?
I would call it a random event.
Yeah. I actually, since we started using this word random, yeah. I've had a problem. I didn't want to get into it in the course of the studio. But what are we talking about? We're talking about random. Nothing is random. We all understand that everything is the way we're going to be Day Shemayim. So we're understanding the Day Shemayim a certain way. We're understanding it. We're understanding random in a certain way as well. So really,
I don't know what that means, a certain way.
Well, it's without any purpose.
Random has nothing to do with purpose.
Okay.
Maybe it's purposeful for a world to be random.
Okay.
Maybe it's purposeful to be random.
No. I don't know.
Suppose God says, you know what? You want a random world? You got one. What's the matter with that? So then it's meaningful to be random?
Well, okay, so we're not suggesting
that it has
no meaning.
None of this has anything to do with the sugya. This is all philosophy.
Exactly.
That all that the sugya is saying is that acts of God are obviously random. Everywhere, we never find that the world works out in ways that are precise. And that's the hanhag of the earth. Therefore, if you say something to B'day Shamayim, it means that it was not made to be a particular way. Right? It's the same thing like Rebbe Eliezer asked God, how long do I have to be poor? Can't you make me rich? And what does God answer him? No, he answers him, I could start the universe over again, and maybe next time you'd work out being born in a rich economy. He doesn't say, sure, we can make you rich. He says, that's what it will take. Would you like me to start over again? And Rabbi Yehuda says, but even then, it's only a chance. You said, maybe. He says, that's right, it's only maybe. So he says, well, it's an awful lot to do just for maybe. Forget it, right? Okay, so that's random. I'll view the Hanhagas Shamayim as random. And God does not change things from their random mechanisms. Therefore, over here, Tainus Tosfos on Rashi. What are you talking about? If you're telling me that Min HaShamayim, Iyachal or something, how did this guy die exactly between Shtei Ayarot? What are the chances of that? Since it's all chances, his chances are so remote.
That was the solution. He was almost dead, and then he crawled right into the village
floor. So that's why. He fell right inside the chalk lines
that the enemy had written.
He's like, I want to get them all back. I'm right to the
middle floor. Okay. So Tosfos learns, Ef Shalat Sam saying, Bidei means that events that occur normally cannot be measured to the point of Tzimtzum. So let's say a birth. How are we going to measure a birth? We're left with getting a brief sense of what happened without being able to check on it again, get recorded. So how are we going to see that one guy crosses the finish line 1/1000th of a second before the other guy? In order to do that, we need a strobe light and we need film and so on and so forth. We don't have that. We're primitive. So therefore, Ef Shalat Sam saying what happens Bidei Shamayim. But that, an event which happened, which could certainly, you're right, there's very little chance that such a thing will happen, but it happened. We could certainly measure it as having happened if we have an opportunity to measure it. So therefore, this case is an opportunity to measure. And all that he was talking about were things where we don't have an opportunity to measure. Whether the chances are significant enough in a random event to think that they would be in particularly this point is absurd. And the truth is, this was a fundamental insight in the whole nature of thermodynamics. That's how it ended up. The discovery, essentially, of the formula of thermodynamics ended up taking this. This is Boltzmann's insight. If you take the chances of the position of every particular particle, and you put those chances together, you end up with thermodynamics. Because every particle could be in every position. That's the point. So, Mamela, you're violating, you end up violating the simple rules of probability when you attempt to create a violation of entropy. That's the point. And so, if that's the case, as the Tosfos is saying, our question is not whether it can happen. Our question is whether without a measurement, we take it seriously enough that it did happen. Because it's just absurd. It doesn't. We normally follow statistics. In statistics, it's not the way things happen. Obviously, if you measure it, then you can measure it and say, okay, it's close enough for me to be able to determine that this is what happened. All right, but this is a lot of spheres in this sugya. Again, we don't have the opportunity to really go through it, but a lot of the discussion of it seems to confuse the issue of the need for Tzimtzum in terms of the definition of Midas, as opposed to the ability to Mitzamtzim in terms of where we do have such a need, whether we're able to do it. And that's very confusing. And that all revolves around that extra pasuk about Kol Bichtav Miyad Hashem. Because Lechora, I mean, if we're simply saying the Torah, when it gives you a din, it says, do your best efforts for that din, so then we accept that. Then it has nothing to do with Ephraim Thompson anymore. And this is true in hundreds of sugyas, from Shechita to Erevin. I mean, that's the thing. You're going to say, Parts Merubah Alayimit. To Sukkah, and in terms of the Schach, which one is, and there indeed the Mishnah compares it to Ephraim Thompson. You have half of the plate is covered with the sukkos, and half of it is covered with the pieces from the mitzvah. These are all sugyas of where half is essential. Question: can we define half? Okay, we'll leave it for now. But it's a beautiful, beautiful sugya. So we'll see tomorrow. We're still in the middle. Yeah, he went away for today.